This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the 2024 WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien. Ahead, we'll take a look at some of the playoff matchups in the first round and focus in on the top seed Saskatoon Blades and the Prince George Cougars. The WHL's Prospects Draft Lottery was held Thursday. Prince Albert and Everett were the big winners. Silvertips assistant GM Mike Fraser joins us as the Silvertips will pick first overall for the first time in franchise history. And the Furkus Circus has a WHL scoring title. Moose Jaw Warriors forward Jagger Furkus captured the Bobby Clark Trophy in a race that came right down to the wire. He'll be our guest. First up, the Western Hockey League held its 2024 WHL Prospects Draft Lottery. Three teams with the hope of landing the first overall selection coming down to Everett, Tri-City, and Kelowna. The WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, unveiling the teams in order of selection.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 WHL Prospects Draft, the Calgary Hitmen. The fifth pick in the draft belongs to the Edmonton Oil Kings. The fourth pick in the 2024 WHL Prospects Draft, the Kelowna Rockets. This means that the Prince Albert Raiders have won the lottery and will move up two spots, meaning the third round or the third pick belongs to the Tri-City Americans. The second pick, the Prince Albert Raiders, and the first overall selection in the 2024 WHL Prospects Draft belongs to the Everett Silvertips.
While Prince Albert wins the lottery for the second straight year by way of Seattle's pick, the Everett Silvertips have the Kamloops Blazers selection. They will select first overall in May. The lottery ball fell the way of the Everett Silvertips, and they will draft first overall the WHL Prospects Draft. Mike Fraser is the Silvertips assistant general manager, and I'm sure, Mike, you were quite excited to see Prince Albert win the lottery, which meant you retained that first overall selection.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting event for our organization, and obviously for the Silvertips never having the opportunity to pick number one. Obviously the staff, our organization's excited. I'm real happy for our scouts. A couple of those guys have been around since the Silvertips started. So, for them to have this opportunity is pretty exciting for them as well.
The WHL isn't shying away from it. They called the draft the Landon DuPont sweepstakes, and the Calgary defenseman with the Calgary Edge U18 program is said to be an exceptional player and likely the first overall selection here. I know you've seen him play, Mike, and it's not a slam dunk, but obviously if you could land a player like Landon DuPont, would be pretty big there for the Silvertips.
Well, for sure. Landon's had an unbelievable year, and we've, you know, as a staff, we've really watched him for two or three years now, and nobody brings to the table. In saying that, there's a ton of good players here in this draft, not just Landon, but, you know, really everybody that was in the lottery is going to get, a franchise-changing player, in my opinion. And so it's really up to us, and I've had these discussions with our staff in the past where, you know, no matter where you're picking, whether it's first or 22nd or, you know, even into the third, fourth round, you kind of want to make sure your list is accurate and you got everybody where they're supposed to be. So as exciting as it is to get that first pick, we still want to make sure we do our due diligence and make the phone calls and do the evaluations properly here for the next little bit.
It's more than just the first overall pick for the Silvertips. You have two first rounders, a second rounder, two third rounders. So this upcoming draft could be pretty important for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, obviously with the trade that we made last year with Kamloops, it certainly helped with that. And anybody that knows our organization knows that, in somewhat recent memory, we haven't had a ton of higher picks or maybe we've had one and then skipped a couple rounds or whatever the case may be. So, you know, having these amount of assets are obviously really important to us. And, and exciting for our staff and for the scouts. And you know, it looks like a pretty strong age group as well, you know, on the higher end of this draft. So we should be able to pick up some pretty good players here for our organization.
Let's go back to last year at the deadline. I know it's not exciting to trade away a world-class player like Olin Zellweger, and the fact that Ryan Hofer was also part of that deal with Kamloops, who really is a heart-and-soul type player. You somewhat gut your team in the midst of everything. That was tough, but you know, it's days like today when you see the fruits of the labor pay off that maybe soften that blow just a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it's, you know, we certainly, when that all happened, we weren't sitting here thinking, oh, we might have the first pick the next year. That wasn't at all our thinking. But, you know, it was tough to trade away those two players. Obviously, you know, they were such valuable pieces and great people, like so good around the younger players and whatnot. But, you know, we knew it was a decision that probably needed to be made, you know, to acquire some of these assets, and now we get to see, you know, a little bit of the payoff from that and get this opportunity that we're going to get. So we certainly don't take it for granted. And like I said earlier, we want to make sure we do our due diligence for sure.
Mike, it's an exciting draft for the Silvertips, and good luck in the draft. And when you have the first overall pick, you don't have to wait for anybody or cross your fingers. So if it is Landon DuPont on draft day, congratulations, and thanks for spending some time with us here on WHL This Week.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it.
From the drop of the puck to the Edge and Out Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Welcome to the 2024 WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien. 16 teams remain in the battle for the Ed Chenault Cup. The Saskatoon Blades enter the postseason as the number one seed by way of winning the Scotty Monroe Memorial Trophy for the best record in the regular season. They match up with the rival Prince Albert Raiders in the first round. Blades head coach Brennan Sonny this week leading up to game one on the team's mentality.
We just want to go out and between the whistles, chase them down. Like that, it's on our wall. It's part of our values, is we view ourselves as a wolf pack. We're just going to keep coming and coming and coming, and we're going to run and hunt and chase and run and hunt and chase, and we're just going to keep coming. And you do that between the whistles. It has nothing to do with ego or the war of words. There's no Conor McGregors in here. We're just a wolf pack that are going to run and chase and hunt and bite and keep going.
The Blades will be bolstered by the playoff experience they acquired in Fraser Minton.
I think just you're comfortable having played, I mean, I think I've played almost close to 30 games now in the playoffs with the Mem Cup too, so used to it, and know how exciting it can be, and know how emotional it can be too, so I think I'll have good experiences to draw back on from trying to not get too high, not get too low, stay present, stay even keeled, and focus on the game, and obviously not let the crowd, the energy, the enthusiasm take over in a bad way.
A Blades won 8 of 10 meetings in the season series against the Raiders, including the final two to close out the regular season. Minton says they are preparing for a battle.
In a 7-game series especially, it's like every shift, one guy at a time, rolling through, just kind of chopping at the tree, one swing at a time till it falls over.
In the Western Conference, the number one seed is the Prince George Cougars. They play the Spokane Chiefs in the first round. Cougars head coach and GM Mark Lamb.
Yeah, it's been it's been a really good year. Like when you break it down and you look at it, you know, right from training camp and you know, our expectations this year that we were going to have a good team. How good, you never know, right? But when you break it all down, I think the biggest thing with this team was consistency. Like it, you know, we lost 2 games in a row one time, and you know, we just when we did lose a game, we regrouped and we won a game. And so you put all that together, and then it goes right down to the end of the year for first place, and we earned it and we deserved it.
The Cougars are heavy favorites going into the series, but the season series was split at 2 wins apiece.
Well, we don't take anybody lightly, and every team has they have certain parts of their game that can beat you. And when you look at their team, they're an offensive team. They're weighted towards you know, that side of it. They got caught. You know, they got Berthelet. They got some, you know, some guys that can really put the night. They got some guys with 100 points. So, you know, right there, that tells you that you got to keep an eye on those guys on the ice. So we'll look at some of their weaknesses, because every team has weaknesses, and then we'll go from there.
The Portland Winterhawks are the number 2 seed as U.S. Division champions. They match up with the Victoria Royals. The Royals will be big underdogs. 20-year-old goaltender Braden Holt.
You know, the guys in the room are going to look to the older guys to drive the compete and battle factor. So we're really just going to have to lead by example here, and the rest of the guys will follow. And that's how we're going to have to win games and win series, is just by outworking the other team, because the likelihood of us being the more skilled team is not really there. But we can win games if we work harder and are tenacious on pucks and work hard in both net fronts. And that's how we're going to have to win.
Portland won all 4 in the season series, but 2 of those wins came in either overtime or a shootout. Holt says they will be ready to go to battle.
Playoffs is a different beast. You know, the games are way more physical. There's really no friends out there. You have to have pure hatred for the other team, and it's a long series too. You know, one game you win 10-0, you lose 10-0. It's just on to the next game. It's just the score in the series. So it's important that we just come in waves, and that we just keep battling shift by shift, period by period, game by game. It's a long series, and you know, it's not on the first game or second game. It's just going to be the collective effort. So it's going to be really important for us to be really consistent in our efforts and come in waves in those 7 games.
The Kelowna Rockets snuck into the 5th seed in the final weekend, jumping past Vancouver. They match up with the Wenatchee Wild in the first round. The Rockets go in with 111-point producer Andrew Christo leading the way. Regan Bartel has more with the Washington Capitals prospect.
You begin the playoffs against Wenatchee. That's the opponent you wanted to face in round number 1. Ideal.
Yeah, no, I think we're definitely confident heading into the year. I think to the playoffs. I think you know, we always wanted to get that extra seed and move up to 5th instead of staying back in 6th. So we're happy with that, and hopefully we can, you know, start the series off right.
What do they do well? What do you have to be aware of?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, definitely an aggressive team. They like to you know, skate really well and you know, get up the ice and play north. So hopefully we can, you know, neutralize that in the neutral zone and jump right back on them.
I always wonder, like, how much do you have to focus on what they're doing, or is it more so what you guys are doing?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think more so what we're doing. I think if we, you know, play into our structure and our system and just focus on ourselves, the rest will sort itself out. And, you know, we can't get too caught up in what they're doing and just kind of focus on our game.
Is there a lot of pressure this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, pressure's a privilege, right? Like, we go out there and, you know, we want to win. We've been here for, you know, 3 years, haven't got past the first round. So, you know, hopefully we can break it that this year. And, you know, to have the pressure of, you know, winning more games and playing more on home ice is definitely good to have. So, yeah, we're excited.
Game number 1, how pivotal is it in a playoff series? Or is it the old adage, one game at a time?
Yeah, I think game 1 is same important as game 2 and game 3 and game 4. You know, they all count as one win. And, you know, then again, if we can go into their barn and steal the first game, it definitely gives us the advantage. But, you know, every game is super important.
When you look at the seasonal series, it was a homer series. You won twice here at Prospero Place. They won twice in their building. Does that mean anything now?
No, not so much. You know, I think we, you know, they're a good team on home ice, obviously, but, you know, we can go in any building and win a hockey game. So I think all that kind of goes out the door, and we just got to, you know, focus on ourselves and play our game.
And good luck to the 16 WHL playoff teams in the battle for the Ed Chenault Cup.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Hey, we're joined by the Bobby Clark Trophy winner for the WHL scoring leader. Jagr Furkus of the Moose Jaw Warriors put up 5 points in the final nights of his regular season to post 126 points. Jagr, first of all, congratulations on that mark, and obviously you knew where you were in the scoring race heading into that final game, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you very much. And yeah, for sure I did. I knew that Saturday night for me it was an important game if I wanted to win the scoring title, and I think going into the game, the coaching staff and my teammates and line mates put me in a good position to succeed.
You scored the lacrosse goal or the Michigan goal or whatever you want to call it, and that actually turned out to be your point. That goal actually clinched the scoring race right there. Not sure you knew that, but I think you'll go down as the first in history to ever do that.
Yeah, I mean, I did not know that, but that's pretty cool.
Did you know, sort of, like, there was a few players in the Western Conference, I'm thinking Zach Funk, Riley Height, Berkeley Catton. Did you know where everybody sort of stood in the final few games there?
Going into Saturday night, I did, yeah. Obviously, being in that race, I paid attention to it, and I think, like I said earlier, going into Saturday's game, I knew I had to have a pretty good night because those other players are also really good players that can put up points and have good nights as well. So going to the last game, I knew I had to have a good night, and I'm happy I did.
You didn't get a point in the first period on three Moose Jaw goals. Were you thinking, like, oh, man, maybe this doesn't happen for me tonight? Was there a thought of that?
Maybe in the back of my mind. Not really, though. Obviously, I'm worried about the second and third period that time. So, I mean, I knew if I just kept going and kept working that eventually it would come, and it did. So I think I'm happy about it.
Nickname that has really stuck has been the Furcus Circus. I'll ask you, what do you think about that tag?
I love it. It's really starting to rise, and I hear it a lot more nowadays, and I think there's nothing but funny, and I really enjoy it.
We'll talk about the first round of the playoffs here upcoming this weekend, but as a Seattle Kraken draft choice, you had a chance to get down through the U.S. division this year for, I guess, the first time in your WHL career, play a game or two games near Climate Pledge Arena in downtown Seattle. What was that experience like?
It was really cool. Honestly, it was probably one of my greatest memories of being in the Western Hockey League was going down there and getting to tour the U.S. rinks and the U.S. atmospheres. It's really cool down there, and we got to go to a Kraken game as well while I was there, so I got to keep in touch with some staff and got to be a part of a game, and Seattle won, so it was a good night all in general.
You know, in the Pacific Northwest, there is a lot of Kraken fans now with that expansion franchise now a few years old. Did you sense that there were some eyeballs on you that, you know, maybe they're trying to check out some of the prospects when you were on that swing?
Yeah, 100%. There's a couple signs I seen that were saying the Furcus Circus, so I knew there was support being down there. And I mean, seeing that, especially those young kids holding the signs, it means a lot to me. It's honestly really cool to me in my head. And I mean, seeing that, it really fires me up going into game time as well.
On that theme, I guess the regular season was just the first act, and it's all about the playoffs, I'm sure, right now for your team. You're the third seed. You play the Brandon Wheat Kings. You did finish with the second most points in the conference. We'll start with Brandon. That'll be a really tough out for the Warriors in round one, some veteran players there. What do you expect as the playoffs open up in Moose Jaw, Jagger?
Yeah, they're a good team. They obviously they work really hard, and they have guys throughout their lineup that play a hard game, and you know what you're going to get every single night with them, and it's just hard work and compete. So I think we just have to be willing to compete harder than them and make sure we're doing the details right, and I think we should be good. It's obviously playoff time, so we all have to take an extra jump in our game, and I think we're all ready for it, though. We're all pretty excited for playoffs here.
Has it been a bit of a long wait? You've been in that spot for a while. You couldn't really jump to number two. You couldn't fall out of number three in the conference. Has it been a wait to get to this point of the season for you and the team?
100%. I think even from day one of camp, that's all we're really worried about is getting a playoff spot. And once you get clinched in the playoffs, it's all about the mindset of what you have to do to get into or to succeed in the playoffs. And it takes a lot to succeed in the playoffs, and we understand that. We've kind of trying to get over the hump the last couple of years, so going to this year, it's exciting for this entire organization, and I think that's really all I can say. It's just excitement going throughout.
You were part of that team that was making additions pretty much all season long, started with a couple of players with Victoria to bolster the lineup, and then there was the talk of maybe Matt Savoy is coming. As a player on that team all season and your entire career, what was the lead-up or the excitement like when, you know, you saw management really invest in the roster and say, we want to build around this team?
Yeah, that it shows and means a lot to the players in the room. I think on the ice, it obviously shows in how we played in the second half, but I think off the ice, it just gives our room so much more belief and confidence going into the playoffs that our staff believes in us, and they are willing to make moves to make us a better team. And I'm just grateful that they got the guys like Savoy and Kovacevic and Parker and everyone I could name off, and they're just all great assets and all really good guys that get along with their team as well.
Finally, City of Moose Jaw, playoffs are a different element, and it can be a bit of a wild ride. You had a wild ending there against Regina. What do you expect the city and the organization and the rink to be like here ahead?
Yeah, I think the head will be bumping. I think we're super excited about it. I think the City of Moose Jaw is also excited for our team this year. They've rallied around us all year, and now that it's playoff time, I'm excited to see how it's going to be on Friday.
Well, I can't wait to see the Warriors and the battles that lie ahead here in the Eastern Conference. Jagger, congratulations on the WHL scoring title, and best of luck in the postseason.
Thank you very much.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to Jagger Furkus and Mike Fraser for joining us. Enjoy the playoffs. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend.